You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to the Talking Cup. It's the members show. It's the night before Liverpool travel to Atalanta to play in the Europa League quarterfinal. Second leg, 3-0 down the fourth leg. Absolutely horrendous last week. But listen, you never know. Do miracles happen? We'll try to answer that question in the next half an hour or so. Delighted to be joined by Chris Brack, who's finally put the walk down for a half an hour so he can come on and do the show. He's been up to his eyes with it. But Chris, great to have you back, and let's get into this. Can miracles happen? Do miracles happen, Chris? Poor against United in the cup. Awful against Atalanta last Thursday. So frustrating against Palace at the weekend. A really bad week for the Reds. But, you know, if anyone can do what the Reds can, I'm going to say they can't. I'm going to be honest. But you never know. Do miracles happen, Chris?
They do with Liverpool. More than you think. We've seen, like, under Rafa, us get battered by Barnsley and then go beat into Milan with literally within 3 days of each other, and we decided not to play Xavi Alonso just for shits and giggles. So it can happen. I mean, Liverpool have turned around the 3-goal deficit before. I don't think they've ever done it away from home. I think that's what's making it a challenge. The only thing that gives me a little bit of hope is we can't be as bad as we were at Anfield. I say hopefully, and as good as they were, I still felt they were gettable at the back. So I think there are opportunities there for us. The question is, though, it's just trying to get some form. We just seem a bit... What worried about the Atalanta game was, it felt a bit like Real Madrid at home last year, where as soon as we conceded, heads popped, and that was it. And then it was like, bang, bang, oh, shit, what's going on here? And that's, and I think the same thing happened with Palace, like panic setting of... We need to score two now. And I think the Palace was more maybe a bit of the pressure being in the title race, getting to a few players. I mean, some of those players aren't used to it.
We've done numerous shows since while this is all going on, right? And me and Phil were talking about it last night. We were talking about the start of games and the nervousness and things like that. And you know, Phil was kind of making the point that trying to hold your position at the top of a division. And when you look at United away, I think that really annoyed us. But I think with Atalanta, maybe I think there might be a bit of a lack of respect there. But again, just hold your position, you know, see ourselves through it rather than doing anything with any conviction and start the games. But when it comes to tomorrow, we can't come out and sit around and go, what's going on here? And, you know, start games the way we've started them previously, because if we go a goal down, it's absolutely over. So are we going to be, you were saying, find a bit of form? Are we going to be forced into trying to find a bit of form and forced into going back to the fast starting, intense Liverpool?
Possibly. I think it's also been a bit of a perfect storm where I think some players are looking leggy because they've had to do lots of minutes have to play a lot of youngsters. And then we're throwing in the likes of Jones and Trent and Tsimikas, who have got next to no form because they've been out injured. And it's unfortunate when we have four strikers that they're all just can't quite hit a barn door all at the same time, which is unusual. Normally, one of them digs out the others. That's kind of what yeah, that used to happen with the old front three. If Mane was off, Firmino would do it. If Firmino was off, Salah would do it. But at the moment, they're all a bit off. I just can't quite work out who he's going to play in certain positions, because it's like, what do you prioritise, Fulham, or do you prioritise this? Because there's two ways of going with it a little bit.
Do some of them make his mind up for him, though? But does I think a Jota starting makes loads of sense. Because he needs to play. I think it's Trent starting makes a lot of sense.
I think so, because I'd start Gomez at right back against Fulham, because it's a away game.
Right.
So I'd actually
give you go that way. I think I'd start Trent on Thursday and start him again on the Sunday.
My feeling is he'll want Trent for tonight and he'll want Trent for the derby.
Yeah. And the games are going to come. They are going to come fast. Like, I think.
Because yeah, the derby's next Wednesday, so that's only 6 days.
Yeah, I know. Look, the fixtures are piling in now, and for me, like, you know, when I say we're going to preview a game, we're just going to have a little chat around it. We're doing 30 minutes tonight instead of in the mornings, because I can't do shows in the mornings at the minute because there's work going on in the house. So we're trying to do a few in the evenings, and my whole thing about this is I've nearly put aside what the result is going to be. I'm literally gone into this mode where let's get a positive result, a positive performance, and just put ourselves and get players back into a rhythm looking ahead. I feel like this is a precursor for Sunday, a warm-up for Sunday. You know, this is where we, a dry run for it and stuff like that. And you can turn it around. Like, if you come out, I'd love to see Liverpool come out and just be intense, you know, in their faces.
From what I read about Atalanta, I heard they draw 2-2 at the weekend. I don't know what sort of 11 they played.
They were 2-0 up and ended up drawing 2-2. Yeah.
But they conceded two goals in less than 5 minutes in the second half. And apparently that's a bit of a habit they've got, is they concede in bunches. So the target almost for Liverpool a little bit, I would actually, the ideal first half would be go to half-time 1-0 up.
Yes, I agree with you.
If you go to half-time 1-0 up and then get to half an hour to go, and then, you know, with half an hour to go, make it mad. Make it a free-for-all then, because, you know, and see what panic you can set in. But different sides now, but the Barcelona setup was getting at half-time at 1-0. And listen, Alisson had to be busy to do that. But I think that's what you need. Breathe a bit of confidence, right? We are chasing the game, but not on the night. As in, it takes a bit of pressure off. I do think that also helps the strikers, a bit of pressure off them then, because they're going, we're already ahead. It's now me trying to extend the lead, not get us back into it and then go again.
Yeah.
But it'd be interesting who he starts, because I think Gakpo's, I think, within a shout of deserving a start, probably wide left, though. And the problem for him is, I think when he's come on wide left, he's done well for us in the last couple of games. But I think Diaz is playing he's also playing well. So it's which one of them you want to rest first. I think Jota through the middle is a good idea. And then the question then is, what do you do with Salah? Do you rest him and bring him on for the last half an hour? Or do you just trust him?
No, I think you have to play him. I think Salah's the type that you just play him and he just he clicks again and finds a bit of form. Because like Phil was making the point there, he's had 5 goals and 2 assists in the 7 league games he's had in 2024. That's fair enough. But overall, when I watch Salah, you know,
his performance hasn't been the right.
Yeah, he's not committing players. He's not going by players. He's having bits of influence here and there. Good passes more than anything else. Do you know the sort of way? And he does score at Old Trafford. And, you know, that's fine.
The only thing I would say with Salah is, this is the longest I think he's ever been injured.
I can't remember being out.
Definitely for Liverpool. I don't know about for other clubs. So there used to always be a thing with Michael Owen that if he got an injury, it'd take him 4 or 5 weeks to get really back up to form, because that's how he was. Jota seems to be one of those players that as soon as he's back, he's back. Some players are. I just wonder with Salah, is this just a way of him finding his way back from an injury? Some players just take longer than others, and I think a lot blow out of proportion. It's his age, it's all catching up with him. It could be that, but I just wonder, is he trying to find his form back?
Yeah, I think he comes back and he scores against Brentford, and then he's out for another couple of weeks, and then he's back. And
I think the second one's what's done him.
Yeah, but I'm trying not to fucking be too positive on players here, because I get accused of being too loyal to players and protecting players and making excuses.
Talk about Simicast, that'll sort
well, I was told I was making excuses. I've been making excuses all season for players, but why would I need to make excuses for fucking flying in most competitions all season? And that has, we're not perfect. We know that. We've known that since the start of the season. That's actually being part of the attraction of this season for me. But I think with Salah, it doesn't work if you drop Salah out and you go, oh, listen, take a break there. It goes through the whole team. I think when there's one or two players off it, or the team aren't, like, you can always get if one or two players are off and the rest of the team carry you and you win a game, that player then goes into the next game and goes, I wasn't great, but we won, so no big deal, next to go to the, but it's just like there's a knock on and a domino effect going on here, and some players just, I feel
there's just a few that have all dropped off at the same time. Down the middle, you know, Endo's not looked quite right the last couple of weeks
because injury. I think he does a late fitness test away to United, and I think he plays, and I think he's continued to play him since. And
yeah.
And when you think about it, like, he kind of gets forced into it because I don't know what's going on with Gravenberch the last couple of games. But Jones has only been coming back, so it hasn't felt at the right time to go in, though. Listen, you step out. Do you know the sort of way? It just hasn't. And,
yeah.
And we're that deep into the season now that I don't think he will.
I think also because McAllister, because Endo's played so well, McAllister has to play higher up. And then you're a bit reluctant to go, well, he can't do the sixth job in a different way. But you want him so further up because of his influence, but obviously that's taking its toll on him. The interesting one's going to be centre back, because I don't think Canati's been great. He wasn't great against Atalanta. I don't think he was great against Palace
on the ball, especially.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, I've been accused of being too harsh on Canati, but I still think that's part of his game that needs work on, is him on the ball. Whereas I actually think Quanta on the ball's a lot more comfortable.
Yeah. And he does make that mistake at Old Trafford, of course.
That's what I mean. I really felt sorry for the mistake, because, to be fair to him, I thought he reacted to the mistake really well. I was surprised he didn't start Atalanta.
Yeah. I thought the only thing I would say is that Klopp
would have thrown him in just for a bit of redemption of get out your system.
Yeah, but if we're chasing this game, if we're going out to say, right, we're going to be intense, we're going to be in your face, it means you're going to put your centre-halves in the halfway line. And I think where Canate probably gets the nod over Quanta, because of the pace he can cover.
Especially
if Trent starts. If Trent starts, Trent's not going in there to do what Bradley's been doing for the last 2 months. He's going in there to drop into midfield again. And it is a shame, like, that Bradley's out 3 to 4 weeks, they're saying now, so it's going to be mid-May. So you may see him back for one game, possibly, but it could be the end of a season.
Yeah, it's either Tottenham or Villa, he might make.
Yeah, he might get back for. A couple of quotes here. Ashley says, a couple of quotes from Alisson regarding tomorrow. We have had two bad results, but I think we cannot make the mistakes. We cannot make the mistake to make these bigger than it is. We need to improve our performances, of course, but it will be more precise on the things we have to do better. We have to go back to keeping clean sheets and to try score the chance we have, the clear chances that we have in front of goal. So it is throughout the team. You know, they're identifying there, and, you know, for me, I'm with you. Get to half time if you're 1-0 up, and then you say to yourself, look, let's get a goal. You see, the thing is, if you're 1-0 up at half time, you can get a goal on 80. You can get another goal on 85, and you still know you have 10 minutes to go at it. Do you know the sort of way? So it's always a second goal. Doesn't really matter when it comes, because you'll know you'll have a chance, unless it's the last kick of the game.
I just think 1-0 at half-time spreads a bit of confidence in the side, going, right, we've got the platform to build from, rather than, oh, Jesus Christ, we've got to chase it. You don't want to, like, it, you know, because we can't do what we did, like, say, for the Dortmund game, where we go 2-0 down and it's, you know, it's not great, but we were level first leg. So it was like a one game win, whereas this is, you're going to need a little bit of luck to go your way as well.
Yeah.
You're gonna have to win 4-1 or 5-1, and if I'm honest, if we're gonna go through, I think we're gonna go through. Kev said we're gonna have to win 5-1. I said, because I don't see a clean sheet, so I've got to hope we can score 5, which feels. And the reason I'm saying 5 is because I'd feel comfortable. I know 4, you know what I mean. So it's like, oh god.
Yeah. Ashley says there, I'm most concerned with us getting through the first 10 minutes at the moment with air form. I'm with you.
I
think the best way for Liverpool to go about this is, I said on Sunday night's show, Liverpool, if they came out against Fulham and didn't leave the half of the first 15 minutes and just said, we're not conceding here, people should not be giving out. Now, I've kind of revised that, because I thought to myself, yeah, but are you actually going back to being Liverpool by doing that? You're probably not. I'd love Liverpool to come out and go, we're going for you, and we're penning you in, and you're not getting out. And any ball you happen to hit, it'll be a percentage ball that our two centre halves will eat up, whether that's against Fulham or Atalanta or wherever. I'd love Liverpool to go and do that, you know. And I think Liverpool can concede goals. Like, we're playing against good sides. But my biggest thing about the way we're conceding goals is we're not conceding them by being high up the pitch and, you know, a big intense press and putting pressure on and roiling the crowd up while we do it. If you watch the goals for Brighton in the first couple of minutes, the one for Palace, right, they're literally ones where they just wander into our halfway.
It's just people not following.
Pass, and then now the Brighton one's a little bit on the break, but by the time it actually settles down, we've plenty of players back. And it's just like, the ball come in there and I won't get to him. I'll reaffirm what I said last night. I want us to turn back into a Liverpool side that when you come out, you know these are going to be fucking 100 mile an hour, but controlling the game at the same time. Because when Liverpool do that and they put a press on you and they make it intense and they make it fast, they're able to actually take control of a game and pass it and move it and so on. And the other teams get tired very quickly from that. Whereas, you know, I was looking at the game on Sunday and I was saying to myself, like, right, we're 1-0 down, but Palace will have to get tired. We have a lot of the ball. But it didn't really happen like that because Liverpool weren't moving it quick enough and they weren't putting Palace under enough pressure to make Palace go in the head or physically go, I'm fucking knackered here. You know what I mean? It wasn't like that. I want Liverpool to go out and do that. Let's try pick a team. Okay. Alisson will start.
Yeah, because he's done the press conference as well. That's always a telltale sign.
Yeah, that's true. I think Trent has to start.
I think it's Trent, Robbo, Van Dijk. And you can make an argument for any of three players for the other one.
Okay, yeah, fair.
Because there's even an argument, although we haven't done it all season, is you talk about the pace, Gomez centre-back could also happen. Just because he's got the pace, he's used to pull it out to right-back, and form-wise he's been all right, and he didn't play at all against Palace.
Yeah, because Kev says, if you start Trent, you can manage his minutes. Imagine he comes on in 60 and ends up having to play.
Yeah, that's also a risk of him. Yeah.
Oh, true to 120. Same for Jota, getting an hour out of him. I think the fact that he just puts Trent on there the other day, you know, Trent's on the bench the previous game, but doesn't come on, if I remember rightly.
Yeah, he doesn't come on. No, he doesn't.
At Atalanta, wasn't it? He didn't come on.
Yeah, he didn't come on there.
Yeah, yeah.
Jota did.
Yeah, but he maybe needed a couple more days. So I would, yeah, I go with Trent, I go with Robbo. I lean towards Konate with the idea that we probably end up playing Kwanzaa at Fulham, and I'm not against that. I think Kwanzaa done really well away at Fulham in the League Cup, where
1-0 Bayern.
Yeah, 1-0 Bayern. Yeah, update 1-0 Bayern. It's in the chat there anyway, so people know. He's up against that fella with the headband. He used to be with Wolves.
Oh, no.
Raul Jimenez. Done really well in the League Cup against him. He tried to pull onto him all evening, and he was really good on the ground, in the air. So I've no problem with Kwanzaa playing. I just think with the pace, if we're going to turn into what we usually do, and if Trent starts, I think it ends up being Konate. Midfield-wise,
I think this is the hardest bit to pick.
I don't think McAllister starts.
Mm.
I think McAllister looked a bit leggy.
I think all the midfield looks leggy.
Yeah. I think he does. He's going to want Jones. He's definitely going to want Jones. But in my opinion, I would start Endo, Szoboszlai, Elliot. And the reason I would is because I think Szoboszlai's running power.
I think Elliot just keeps us
at a high, and he loves a high, quick kind of play. And it gives lads a rest.
I think you tell Elliot to do a 90 minute run in 60, and then you bring Macker off for the last half hour.
Yeah. That just keeps him ticking over for Sunday.
I think so, yeah. Attack wise, I do Salah, Jota, Gakpo. I tell Gakpo play wide left.
Attack wise, I would do Because I think you see, I think Diaz has been the brightest spark.
He has, but my thought is, I want him for Fulham as a separate starter. My thought is, if you get to half time 1-0 up,
what are you doing,
Gakpo, Jota, Salah?
Yeah, I'll do the same.
But what my thought was, if you're 1-0 up at half time, this is obviously, I mean, the fact I've said clean sheet is always a bit imaginary. It shows I've not been on a show for a while. But so we get to half time 1-0 up, I still think throwing on the pace of a Darwin and a Diaz with half an hour, 40 minutes to go,
yeah,
could be a bit of a game changer. A bit like Darwin was when we brought one against Newcastle.
Yeah.
I think we did something similar West Ham in the Cup when we brought pace on in the last half hour. And maybe that's what we've got to start to say to Nunes is, you're probably not going to start any of the last six games for us, but you're going to finish everyone.
Yeah.
You're going to be a bit, and Jota's going to start all. Jota's going to do 60, and you're going to do half hour, and you're going to basically you'll get the plaudits as potential winner, which focuses his mind because he's got to watch the game a bit more. Gives him a bit of a kick up the arse in terms of, you know, I've no problem with Darwin. I think there's a good player in there, and I think there are lots of positives game, but like him or loathe him, he misses too many big chances, and he's got to curb that.
Or Could there be an argument he goes with the Nunes up front and puts Jota off the left?
He could do.
I think that there's options there. And I've no real issue with who plays up front. I just want us to fucking put a chance away. And put us ahead in the game. I think the forwards just need that. And
I'm sick of Neil Jones tweeting, Liverpool 1-0 down, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, when you look at the weekend, like, when you look at the finishing, I think the keeper makes some good saves. I think he makes a couple of fortunate saves, and I think some of it's just poor, you know, from a variety of players. So it's not just the Darwin Nunes or the Luis Diaz. It's Salah's involved. Jota becomes involved because of fucking the chance he has. Gakpo's missed a few bits, but Gakpo, I think, has been quite bright in the last couple of games. So, and I think then you look at the bench and you say to yourself, well, if you play that 11, right, you could still have a Diaz and McAllister. If you play a Nunes, if you don't start a Nunes, you'd still have a Jones. You know, you'd still have plenty to come on there.
Gravenberch to bring on.
I don't know what's going on there.
I was listening to this in the Anfield rap a little bit, and I've sort of come away thinking is Gravenberch might be in a little bit of the Simicast mold this for the last six games, which is kind of because we need to win every game. We can't wait for you to pick it up. So it might be a little bit of Ryan, you'll get some minutes here and there, get ready for next pre-season, which will be a new manager anyway, but get ready for this pre-season. I also think because Klopp's got six, seven games left, but hopefully a bit more if we somehow get through. If he upsets a few of them, I don't think he'll care. I'm really upset with you. I'm not here in 5 weeks, mate. So go and impress the new boss.
Yeah, so Kev says they'll defend in a five. Having Darwin on the left wouldn't be the worst option. I just think. Do you remember when we earlier on the season, and not even so long ago, you'd have say, I think it happened quite a lot when it was Nunes, Gakpo, Salah, and what you'd find is that Nunes would be out left 1 minute, and Gakpo would be through the middle. Then Gakpo would torn out on the left, and Nunes would be through the middle, and it was just making people think. And I think we need to get back to that a little bit. And I think you can do that with if you start Jota through the middle and Diaz or Nunes off the left or vice versa, or you do Gakpo, just interchanging it a little bit. I think we've become quite static in where we are.
That's why I thought Salah, Gakpo, Jota, because I think when we beat them in the COVID season, I think Jota gets a hat trick. It's Salah, Mane, Jota, but that was so fluid. The three get interchanging. I think that's how you disrupt the back three. Whereas I kind of felt because that man for man marking thing they do is mental. But as we saw at Anfield, when they get it right, as soon as they got a tackle in, it was literally 4-on-3 every time.
Yeah.
You know, so that's how they got their goals. It was, you know,
yeah,
it's a risky tactic, but as you see, when it comes off, it's great. I mean, De Zerbi sometimes does similar things, but we've also seen the flip side of it is when you get it wrong, that back three with man-to-man marking, it leaves you open for a bit of a car crash. So you know, the key is just give yourself the chance. Don't get 20 minutes in 1-0 down and go, this is over.
Yeah.
Because that'll then go into the pressure for Sunday against Fulham.
Yeah, I think you need a positive result. I think we need to get through 20 minutes. I think we need to come out as a winner in the game, regardless. And I think we need to probably see. If we're not going to go through, I'd love to win the game, say 2-0, and Diaz and Nunes to score, or Jota to score, or, you know, two of the front men to get two goals. Do you know the sort of way? But it's going to be one of those where I think the first goal is huge, obviously, but I'm more thinking the first 15 minutes, even if there's no goals, is quite a big thing for Liverpool. And don't get me wrong, I think Welbeck's goal is good for Brighton, right? Good goal.
Yeah.
Right? I think the Palace goal is a decent goal, right?
Because I think the Palace one's very avoidable. The Welbeck one, I think there's also a bit of luck to go away.
Yeah, because the falls...
It's a great strike.
Whereas if we track people properly for the Palace one and Kanate is in the right position to cut it out, we probably get rid of that, right? But I think it's the style in which we're conceding them where it's kind of players are wandering by us. Yeah, it feels cheap, and we never usually let that happen. Like, don't get me wrong, if they get out with a brilliant counter attack and they pull the centre half wide and cross in the box and the fella gets a header on it, you know, and you kind of go, geez, that's a good goal in fairness because they've done really well on the break. You kind of go, fair enough. Do you know what I mean?
They feel a bit cheap. Even the Kwanzaa mistake, I don't think I know he's not everyone's favourite person, but not enough to be made of the goal by Fernandes, because it's a silly giveaway, but to hit it from there, lob the keeper and see him offline. We've seen plenty of players go, "Oh, keeps out, I'm going to lob him," and they go miles wide and they're nowhere near. You know, there's also another thinking, just our luck as well that he hits it perfect.
Yeah,
because 9 times out of 10, people balls that up. Yeah. So there is I think
Liverpool need to instead of looking at other teams on what they're doing and what they could do, I think Liverpool should look within themselves and say, what can we do to stop this? Forget what they're doing. What can we do? What can we positively do? You know,
being proactive to
put this first 15 minutes into bed rather than reactive.
Me and Kev were talking about this. This is before we'd even played Atalanta. I generally said to Kev, if I'm honest, I still think this now, I felt the quarterfinal we got against Atalanta is more difficult than the potential semi-final. I think they're a much more difficult side for Liverpool to play than a Benfica or Marseille. I think Benfica and Marseille stylistically suit us better as a side to beat. So this is why I was really frustrated with us losing 3-0. Is like, this feels like an opportunity you've missed. I mean, a bit like the United one. I mean, typically United got Coventry in the FA Cup. But it just felt like, I do feel if they could find a way to get past this Atalanta side, I think that semi-final is actually quite more winnable. Yeah. As opposed to the other side of the draw, where I think Bayern Leverkusen get through, I think Roma are an arse to play.
Yeah.
And I think Roma will cause Bayern Leverkusen some problems.
I've
got a sneaky feeling Roma might even get through that. I don't know why I've got a sneaky feeling that Roma side's a bit of a dark horse that has been slept on. So
yeah, a bit of a mix of muscle memory of Mourinho, but they're might be a bit more progressive under De Rossi, isn't it?
And there's lots of good, when you look at the side, there's lots of good players, nice mix of experience and youth. You know, it's the mix of a good, you know, of a really clever squad that's been built there.
Yeah.
Plus, that'd be quite nice that, you know, if we could ever get to a final, which would be amazing. Like Liverpool Roma finals, you know, the old 80s.
Yeah, we do all right with them, don't we? We do all right with them. Dylan says Alisson, Trent, Virgil, Kanate, Robbo, Endo, Jones, Elliot, Salah, Gakpo, Jota. He thinks that Elliot plays better with Salah on the pitch.
They do, I like how someone in the chat, I'm glad I'm alive.
They're glad you're alive. Who said that?
Because I think Avo was saying, good to see you back. And someone said, I think Ash said, look, he's definitely alive then. Because I disappeared.
Jesus Christ. goal for Man City. Kevin De Bruyne has scored for Man City.
Oh, that's
so
annoying.
It's 1-1 on the evening and it's 4-4 on aggregates.
To be honest,
Arsenal still honest, 15 minutes.
I'd quite like it to finish that, just so they have to do extra time.
I think
that's the other thing I want to happen with City, which is sort of, which hopefully will happen. Luton didn't do it. Is if they're going to win games, be games they're going to work for it. But you know, because tied legs, tied minds, you know, that's the sort of thing you've got to hope with City. And City's record post Champions League games this season hasn't been fantastic.
Yeah.
Whereas Arsenal's, to be fair to them, post Champions League game has been, I think it's been perfect. I don't think they've actually.
I just think what might be killing Arsenal at the moment is, I think the fact that he's used these players an awful lot.
That was always the risk. But
and they're being put in now into high pressure Premier League games and high quality European games. But you never know. The 15 minutes left there, they could do something. Anyway.
That's where I think that's maybe what's catching us a little bit is I think some players have been overplayed because basically apart from 16-year-olds, you know, that's the luck of the draw and you have to hope they fall for you sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. Anyway, we let people go and watch the last 15 minutes of that. We think it can happen. We picked a team. You never know. But I'm with Chris. Get the 1-0 at halftime and see where we go from there. If you want to make it 2 or 3-0 at halftime, I'm absolutely fine with that, by the way.
Oh, yeah. I think
a couple of things is if you get to halftime at 1-0, it means you've kept a clean sheet. You haven't messed around the first 15 minutes. You're ahead on the night and you're putting a bit of doubt into Atalanta. So we'll have to wait and see. With regards to the game tomorrow, Kev, Matt and Ashley will be back after the game tomorrow, 10 p.m. It's down four, but you never know if it goes extra time or if a lot of injury time or whatever. We're down for 10, but we'll be there between 10 and 10:15 if it finishes after the 90. Link is in the description for the the charity things we're doing for the fan support and field group. Food banks, the Lighthouse, and also the Laurel Inn Hospice, that's Phil's one as well. The latest football prize one is there as well. It's a belter. It's a signed, framed, custom LED Alison Becker jersey. There's loads of instant prizes on that link as well, including stuff from Dudek, Vesterveld, Alison himself, all sorts of stuff going on there. So if you want to get a ticket, it closes on Monday, but it's well worth having a look at. So that is the latest offerings from football prizes. We're going to go. Let you go and watch the end of the game. If you're watching, hit the thumbs up. If you're listening afterwards, give us a review, all that sort of stuff, wherever you find your podcast when we get this done as well. Chris, it's been an absolute pleasure to see you back. Thank God you've stopped walking for a half an hour to give us some of your time. And I'm sure Chris will be back regularly in the future when he starts all this walk messing out. I always say that, like, because people don't think I have a real job, but just go around doing my mad stuff and call it a job. But people do have real jobs. That's how it goes. But it's been an absolute pleasure. We talk to everybody soon. Over and out.
Sports Social Podcast Network.